So, we come now to our response to this revelation of God. Because we said before, remember, that God revealed himself to us over 2,000 years because it was impossible for us as human beings to know anything worth knowing about God. Left to ourselves, we could only know basic things about him. We could recognize that he exists, but very little else. We could gather that he was intelligent and so on from the fact that intelligence exists in creation and that that he was beautiful and so on. But our knowledge of God would have been very, very, very scant. As we said, you know, even the greatest philosophers only managed to work out that God was the unmoved mover, the one who set everything else in motion. So God reveals himself to us, he tells us about himself, and he does this through the history of the Jewish people, through the events, and through what he said, both of which have been recorded in the scriptures which we've been talking about. So we are presented now with God's word and God's deed in our history. Now our response to that is either to take it or to leave it, to accept it or to reject it. And accepting that revelation is what we call faith. It's belief. It's acceptance of God in Christ revealing himself to the world. And that's what we mean by faith, or I believe. And so we need to think about for a moment what we mean by faith in our ordinary conversation. So if, for example, when Beth was coming to the catechumen tonight, she was going down Lloyd Street and she saw someone hurling a brick through H. Samuel window. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and rushing off with all these watches and things. And she comes along and she says, "Father," she said, "when I was going down Lloyd Street this evening, I saw this burglary taking place in H. Samuel's. And that minutes too late, all the sirens were going, the police were chasing around. Now, I now know that there was a burglary in Mostyn Street. How do I know it? I wasn't there. But I know it because I've been told it. And because Beth is a trustworthy witness, I know that what she's saying is true, because she has told me. If it had been some drunk turning up at my door and said there's been a burglary in Mostyn Street, I would have said, "Oh, really?" You know, because I wouldn't have believed him, because he wouldn't have had credibility. But because Beth told me, then I believe and know. Not only believe, but I know that there was a burglary in Mostyn Street. I know it. So belief, I believe it, because so that's the difference between well, that's what we mean by belief. It is knowledge. But knowledge coming from a different source. I know that that plant is sitting on that table because I can experience it with my eyes and with my hands and with my nose. I can experience this object here. I know that that is there. But as for this burglary in Mostyn Street, I didn't experience it with my eyes, I didn't see it, I didn't touch it, didn't experience it anywhere at all. The reason why I know about that is because the information has come to me by a completely different source, and that source is Beth. Now, because Beth is trustworthy, that's very important, I believe it. And not only do I believe it, but I know it. I know it. I know as fully that there was a burglary in Marston Street as I know that there is a plant there. Although I didn't see the burglary myself. Okay, I know it. So it's knowledge. It's not a kind of a weak-kneed thing, which is kind of half knowledge and half non-knowledge, half fiction. It is knowledge. I know that that happened. But I know it for different reasons and on different grounds from the way in which I know this. So, the apostles, Peter, James and John, they saw the crucifixion. They were there, they saw it happening. And they saw, not so much the resurrection, because the resurrection happened out of anybody's sight, but they saw the evidence of the resurrection. They saw the empty tomb and they saw the risen Christ. They saw the risen Christ. Okay, so they were eyewitnesses. They were primary witnesses to the Christ event, to the death and resurrection of Christ. They were witnesses. They knew it was true because they actually saw it and witnessed it, touched it themselves. They knew it was true. And they passed this knowledge on to other people who believed them because they were totally trustworthy, and they proved their trustworthiness by dying for what they said was true. Not just Peter and Paul, Peter and the apostles, but hundreds and thousands of Christians. They died because they'd witnessed it, and they knew it was true, and they weren't going to deny it. And then their knowledge was based on their evidence, the evidence of their eyes and their ears. But the knowledge that other people have is different. It's based on their evidence. But those people know that it happened because those people were true and they proved their truthfulness by being prepared to die for what they believed. So, faith is that. Faith is essentially believing something which you can't witness to yourself. You can't be an eyewitness to it. You believe it because you've received it on authority. Now, life would be utterly impossible without faith. Just ordinary life. Because faith is not just restricted to the believer. It's restricted, it applies to everybody and every circumstance. We're always making acts of faith. You get on the bus to take you to town. And you implicitly, you don't actually make an act of faith as you do it, but you're implicitly, by getting on that bus, you are believing that that bus driver is not on drugs, and he's not an alcoholic, and he hasn't been drinking. He's not drunk in the cab. You make an act of faith in him. You go to the supermarket, and you look at this tin, and on it says beans. And you buy it because you want beans. And you know it's beans because it says on the label it's beans, but there's no way in which you can show that it's beans until you open it. It could be stewed apples, couldn't it? It could easily be stewed apples. But you're making an act of faith that this can is actually a can of beans because someone is telling it you on the label. And so life is based on this kind of knowledge all the time. Knowledge which we can't verify with our own senses, but which we have to take to be true on other grounds. And so it wouldn't be possible to live our lives without faith in other people. So faith is, in fact, a natural thing for human beings to have. And so faith is just another way of knowing. It's another way of knowing. You know that there are beans in that can. You know there are beans in that can. You can't see the beans, you can't feel the beans, you can't smell the beans, but you know there are beans because someone has said to you there are beans in that can. Well, they've said it to you with a label, but they I've said it to you, there's beings of that kind. You believe it, you can't verify it at all until you actually open it. And in the same way, you know, we can't verify God until we actually see him face to face. But belief is not a kind of wishy-washy kind of knowledge. That's the point I'm trying to get over. Belief is not a wishy-washy sort of half knowledge, you know, a twilight kind of knowledge, a bit of knowledge and a bit of hopefulness and a bit of, you know, make-believe, all mixed up together, and we call it faith. Faith is knowledge. You know that there are beings there. And you know it because someone has told you so. And we know God, and we know that he is one, and we know that he is three, and we know that he is the creator of the universe, and we know that he loves us, and we know that he's the saviour, and we know that he is preparing a place for us to be with him forever. We can't verify that with our senses, but we can't verify most things with our senses. But we have this knowledge. So faith is knowledge, genuine knowledge, but based on a different source. Okay, not the source of our senses, but the source of... That's why St. Paul says faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. You hear the word of God and you accept it because it's the word of God, but because you accept the witness and the authenticity and the veracity of the actual witness. But it's knowledge then. So I know for certain that H. Samuels was burgled tonight. I know for certain because Beth told me. I know it. I know it as really as I know that. I know it as really as I know that you're sitting here. I know that there was a burglary there. So many people think that faith is kind of watered down knowledge. But it's not. It's knowledge as strong as knowledge based on our senses. And if you just think about it, there are so many things in our lives that we have to take on faith. You know that the earth goes round the sun for a start.
Second.
The earth goes round the sun. You know, and not the sun going around the earth. It looks as if the sun goes around the earth. People believed it was the sun going around the earth forever. Until, you know, science said that it wasn't. But now, I could never prove. I wouldn't know how to start proving that the earth goes round the sun, not the sun goes round the earth. How could I prove it? We'll have a clue. But I know for certain that the earth goes round the sun because people in authority who know what they're talking about have said that the earth goes round the sun. So I believe it. I can't prove it with my senses because to me, it's the sun going around the earth. That's what I see. I see the sun getting up here and going round like that and going down there. Sun going around the earth. But people who know better than I do say, it's not like that. It's the earth going around the sun. So virtually all the things that come to us from science, if we're not, you know, scientifically minded ourselves, we take on faith. So faith is a very, very real part of human knowledge. And it's not just religious dimension. You know, ordinary life depends on this kind of knowledge, which you could say is faith, which is based on someone else telling you what you wouldn't know if they hadn't told you. Okay, so that's faith. And the fact that the authenticity of the witness is very important. If the witness is untrustworthy in a court of law, you know, they subject the witnesses to all sorts of interrogation to see if they will trip themselves up in what they're saying. You know, to see if that witness is trustworthy, it's trustworthy evidence. So the trustworthiness of the evidence is all important to believing something. And in the course of faith, religious faith, the witness is God himself, or Christ. That's why St. Paul calls Christ the faithful witness. No, St. John in the Apocalypse calls Christ the faithful witness. The faithful witness. You know, he witnesses, and we'll talk about this, you know, again. But Christ is the one who witnesses to us of things that we cannot see. He comes along and he says, look, I was in Lloyd Street, as it were, and I saw something. You weren't there, you didn't see it. I was in heaven. I've come from heaven. And I'm witnessing to you that God is three and God is one. And I'm proving to you that I'm authentic because of all the things I say, how they all tie up together, the way I behave, and ultimately the fact that I will claim to rise from the dead, and in fact did rise from the dead. So Christ is the one who has seen God from the inside. He's experienced God from the inside. And so he comes and he speaks to us as what he has seen. St. John's Gospel is full of this imagery of Christ coming from God, the one who sent me. The number of times St. John says, you know, you must believe that it is he who sent me. This constant reference to being sent by the Father. The Father sends him into the world as the witness to reveal God to mankind. So all that revelation that went on during the 2,000 years from Abraham to Christ kind of gets compacted, if you like, into Christ himself. He becomes the embodiment of all that revelation. So that theology will say, eventually, that Christ is the revelation of Christ, of God. He doesn't just reveal God, but he is the living revelation of God. He is the witness, and we respond to that evidence in faith in Christ. And so faith in Christ means faith in what Christ comes to witness, namely God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and revelation, and redemption, and salvation. Okay? We'll leave it there, and we'll...